Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Viviana Bett from Cantina Umbato Bottolotti.
Yes.
How are you, Viviana?
How are you? Fine, and you?
Yeah, I'm excellent. I'm really good. Okay. I'm pleased I managed to get that out. Speaking Italian is not my strong suit.
I will try to speak English.
Excellent. You're from a Prosecco producer.
Yes.
And Cantina Umbate Bottolotti. But what we're going to talk about today is a wee bit about the history of Prosecco. Mm-hmm. It's had some quite big changes over the last year or so.
Yes.
Maybe talk about the future and maybe touch a wee bit on the Charmant or tank method that Prosecco uses to make its wines.
Yes, only the Charmant method we use.
Okay.
Yeah, Charmant method, which is also called Metodo Martinotti in Italy.
Method
Martinotti.
Why is it called that?
Because the creator was Martinotti. And so then this term was also used in France. And it is another word to say the same thing,
Charmant,
I would say. Yeah, Charmant method.
I call it the tank method because it's nice and easy. I call it traditional tank and transfer, the three
but
T's.
But tank is not that...
it's not romantic,
it's
isn't it?
It's not romantic. Yes. Okay.
When did Prosecco start? Has Prosecco been going for hundreds of years, or when did it start?
Yes, it starts at the end of the 19th century. Mm-hmm. But I would say this: the Prosecco, as you know now, was born after the Second World War.
Okay, and where is it based? Is it?
The region, yes, in fact, I don't like to say Prosecco, but because the most important area for Prosecco is Conegliano Valdobbiadene, which is now the DOCG.
That's the Conegliano, how do you say the last word, Volley?
Valdobbiadene.
Valdobbiadene.
Yes, yeah. And Valdobbiadene is where our company, our cantina, is located.
Okay, and that's near Veneto, isn't it?
Yes,
what's
Veneto.
The Lake Garda, is it?
No, it's 1 hour from the Lake of Garda, 1 hour, one and a half. And
yep.
It is 1 hour from Venice, near Treviso. We have the Dolomites. We are under the Dolomites.
Dolomiti. What are they?
There are mountains.
Ah, okay. You're in the north of Italy, slightly
northeast of Italy.
Yep,
yes.
Yep. And just sort of if you know where Venice is on the coast, then it's sort of about 10
in the
o'clock.
North.
Yeah, 10 o'clock inland, so slightly northwest of Venice.
Yes, northwest
okay.
of Venice, yeah.
Fantastic. And has Prosecco always been based around that area?
Yes, the traditional area for Prosecco is the area between Conegliano and Valdobbiadene, these two towns. This is the traditional area for Prosecco, where the real Prosecco is coming from.
Okay, and how did it get going? Was it what was being made in Prosecco before the sparkling?
Okay. I try to explain. Till last year, Prosecco was only a grape. But from last year, Prosecco has become a territory because the consortium started that the world and the product had to be protected because, all over the world we had a lot of imitations.
Yep.
And the product was not that good. And so we decided to use the name Prosecco for the territory. And the grape is now called Glera. Glera was till now a synonym of Prosecco.
Okay.
And so you have a region of made by nine provinces, which can make just the Prosecco. And then you have the traditional, the most important area, which is between Conegliano and Valdobbiadene, which is now the DOCG. And very important to say is that the sparkling version that you produce in this area is called Prosecco Superiore.
Okay, so now it's got a superior.
Yes, because it is superior, yes. I would say it.
Yeah.
Because, okay, I think that the quality, you can taste really the difference.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so they started producing sparkling wines just before the war.
before also the First World War, because the Prosecco was, I don't know if I can say invented by, was born in Conegliano with Carpenè Malvolti. And then other producers started to make this product, and Umberto Bortolotti was one of these producers, and it was a pioneer because together with other producers he brought to the creation of the consortium of Prosecco.
Which is, what's that?
This is an association of the producers. And it was created to defend the product. Yes, to defend the product, I would say.
And when was the consortium created?
The consortium was born in 1962, and it brought to the birth of the DOC, the old DOC, in 1969.
Okay.
The DOC, which now is DOCG.
Yep.
Because the consortium, yes, there was this changing last year.
And was before the person who made the first sparkling wines in Prosecco?
The first company, I would say, is Carpenè Malvolti, the first company.
Who?
Which Carpenè Malvolti, the company is Carpenè.
Yeah.
And yes, it is located in Conegliano, and they were, I think, the first to make.
And when did they make their first sparkling wines, do you know?
I think it was the end of 19th century. Now I don't remember exactly the product.
Yeah. What wines were being made in the region beforehand? Were they still using the Prosecco grape?
First and the Second World War, many producers started, and then after the Second World War, they continued their job.
But they've always been using the Prosecco grape?
Yes, the Prosecco was called Prosecco.
At the time, yeah.
At the time, yes.
No, Galera.
G-L-E-R. Yes.
Yeah, now me and Jane have already spent a bit of time trying to work out how to pronounce that last year.
It's difficult because till last year we had to explain people Prosecco is a grape, and now we have to explain Prosecco is a territory and a grape is Galera.
And were they using the grape beforehand to make still wines before you started making sparkling wines?
No, it was also made to make still wine, and it is also there are producers which are who are making still wines made by Glera.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and you can make the still wine, the semi sparkling wine, and the sparkling wine.
Yep.
But the I would say the most important expression is the sparkling version.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. And on the nose, I always get, on a good Prosecco, a nice pear-type smell. Is that is that common for the grape variety?
Yes, it's fruity and fresh.
Fair bit of acidity as well.
Yes, the acidity must be good, yes.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned before we started the interview about a group called the Brotherhood.
Yes, the Brotherhood.
What are they and how do they fit within Prosecco?
Oh, the Brotherhood, an association of not many people who want to protect the name of Prosecco and the product itself.
Yep.
And it was born before the Brotherhood and then the consortium. The consortium, I would say, it's bigger, and the confraternita is something special not everyone can belong to this confraternita, we say. It's something special, like in France, yes.
Yeah, no, a wee grouping. Are they the premium producers, or are they the best producers, or just a grouping?
No. The producers are good, yes. We are inside this confraternita, okay, but yes, they are good.
Okay. And how does Prosecco Superia compare to just normal Proseccos? Can you get normal? Is it DOC Prosecco? Can you still get that? And then the DOCG Prosecco is DOCG Superiore.
Yes. If you make the sparkling version, if you are making a DOC, you can also call it Prosecco DOC. But for the DOCG, you have to call it Prosecco Superiore, because the quality is superior.
Okay, and if you're making DOC Prosecco versus DOCG Prosecco, is it the same area with different rules, or is it a different area?
No, it's a different area, because the DOC covers 9 provinces in the northeast of Italy, And the DOCG covers only the region, the area between the two towns of Valdobbiadene and Conegliano.
Okay. And why is there anything particular about the
hills?
The hills.
The hills and the soil. Yes, okay. Because a wine, I think, is made by terroir. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very important where the grapes are growing.
Mm. What's the soils?
The soils is, I don't know in English.
Sandstone, clay,
and marl sandstone, yes.
Mm. And I presume the hills are on southern slopes, are they? Or?
Yes, you go from 50 to 500 meters over the sea.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, and the area between Conegliano and Valdobbiadene is very hilly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so also the exposure to the sun is perfect. And we have also a different temperature between the day and night. And so it's very good for the taste, for the aromas.
And also the acidity as well.
Yes.
Is it quite cool at night?
Yes, it's quite cool.
Yeah, so you get a lot less consumption of acids, I suppose, overnight because it's a lot cooler, so all the breathing goes on at a lower rate.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, then, Viviana, I think we'll wrap it up there. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.